Let's be honest. Did you ever take a test for which you had not fully prepared? I mean, really? Where you did all the work that was you needed to do in order to get there? Anyone? I recall back in my high school days, a certain teacher who delighted in grading essay questions on tests in front of the entire class. I mean, he wouldn't read them out loud, nor would he tell us, he'd give us an assignment, he'd read this while I do this. But out loud you saw his red pen there, and you could see him, he'd go, B.S. B.S. Chris, do you know what B.S. means? Well, strictly speaking, it's organic material that comes out of the back end of a male cow. Okay? You got it? But in a school setting, it means when a person is flying by the seat of the pants and doesn't know really what they're saying, they're just trying to fill in the space. Right? To be honest, we do quite a bit of that in life, don't we? Filling in the space when we really don't know what we're doing. Relying as we do so on, well, the good graces of the person who is grading, perhaps even relying upon who we are. I mean, you know me, I would be S. It also stands for Bachelor of Science. And I know in getting my Bachelor of Science, I did a bit of BS along the way to get there. And you know, my Bachelor of Science, as great as that goal was, it really, in the long course of things, doesn't count for all that much. I mean, we can add tags on the ends of our names, but sometimes those things on the tail end or the things on the beginning part are not as important as some other things. Now, in this morning's epistle that we just heard, from the Apostle Paul to the folks in Philippi, Paul lists a bunch of things that could fall under the tail end of his name. And he's doing so because there are others who are puffing themselves up and talking about their relationship with God in such a way that sort of puts other people down. That in order to be really important, you need to be this. And Paul said, well, you know, if this is what matters, I've got it. I've got boom de boom de doom, this. I've got this. He makes a list. If you saw the list, it had things with, you know, he's basically his credentials as a Jewish person. You know, he's been circumcised, which indicates that he is a part of the covenant. He is of a particular tribe. He is from the tribe of Benjamin that places him among the family of Israel. You know, Jacob, whose name was renamed to Israel, he is one of the descendants, the children of Israel. Not only that, he has been trained. I mean, he is a Pharisee. He's got his masters of a divinity, if you will. He's got his training as an interpreter of the law, which back in that day was pretty strenuous a training. It wasn't easy to BS your way through it. He also lists as being a persecutor of the church. I mean, he was so zealous about the law that when these followers of Jesus came along, he actively sought to stamp them out. You've heard the story, haven't you, about Paul, who was then known as Saul. He's got his credentials. So he could lift them up and say, you see, you see, you see. But when it all came to it, well, let me just turn to his words. Let's go back there and see what he says about that. He says, whatever gains I had, things I achieved, these I've come to regard as loss. Some interesting shifting is happening here. Gospel shifting is happening in Paul's life, in our lives. Come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as, well, my translation says rubbish. But the word in the Greek is skabalon, which literally means dung. Okay? It literally means dung. BS. Got it? Now, it's interesting, this past week, I was looking out my back door, and I saw a certain member of this church walking out in the field back there where we've got some cows pasturing. And I saw him picking up stuff and putting it into a bucket. And I wondered, what was going on? This morning I asked. You know what he was doing? Cow piles. For what? His garden. That's an interesting thing. You know, so many people, when I've heard, you know, some people talk about this passage, they really, you know, lay down the, you know, the heavy on all this past stuff and say it's a bunch of crap. But actually, looked at from a biblical point of view, the past has a purpose. What does dung do? It fertilizes. And that is what our achievements in life are. That is what our credentials are. That is actually what our past is all about. It is about fertilizing for the present and the future. It's fertilizer. Did you ever think about it in that way? It's fertilizer. We don't deny our past when we step into this new life in Christ. We don't say it's a bunch of BS in that other way of seeing things. The past is a part of our present, but it does not define who we are now. Now, some of us have pasts that are a bit shakier. Some of us have a past that involves falling flat on our faces. Some of us have pasts that involve failed marriages, and I stand among you as one of them. Our past does not define our present nor our future. I mean, speaking of relationships, speaking of marriage, your relationship at present, yes, is fertilized by the past, but a lot depends upon how you live the present. I mean, you can't keep going back and saying, oh, well, once upon a time I said I do. Doesn't matter what I do now, but I said I do then. The I do now. You know, through the times of what is it we say in sickness and in health, in, you know, all that other stuff matters. Because those I do's, that I will, we said at the beginning, was a future tense, not a past tense. Other relationships, our relationship with our children. You know, as they grow, we don't relate to them as if they were back here, do we? Our relationship now and in the future, yes, is fertilized by the past. But if we treat our children like as if they were at this point, when they're at this point, it's not going to work. to try to live in the past doesn't work. We have to step into the future. The same is true in our relationship with God and Christ. You know, we are not living in the past. Yes, we remember, you know, the promises that were made by our parents when we were dedicated. We recall, for those of us been down this path, we recall, you know, the promises we made when we were baptized. But remember, baptism is not just a once and for all done experience. It is a lifelong process. It is a process of becoming. We are in the process of becoming a new creation, stepping out each and every new day. In fact, in Luther's catechism, daily dying with Christ and rising with Him. We don't just wait for Easter to be a once a year possibility. Every day is Maundy Thursday. Every day is Good Friday. Every day is Holy Saturday. Every day is Easter Sunday. Now, there's some forgetting that needs to happen. I don't know about you, but I have to forget in order to step out into the today, into the tomorrow. I need to forget some of the BS of the past. I need to, in forgetting, to let it go. You? But all of that is made worth it by the present experience of having Christ in our lives today, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the strength today to keep moving on. I mean, I don't know how, for instance, Jane gets through all that pain. But we do know the one who is there with you, giving you the strength to get by. And even as some of in our fellowship are struggling with their memories, we know the present reality of the risen Christ in their lives today and in the future. That hand of God that will not let them go, even as they are losing track of certain things, God will not let them or us go. And continually is drawing us like a magnet into the future. The Apostle Paul went on in his letter, which is in Philippians. This is one of my most favorite parts of Scripture because it is a letter of joy. It is filled with discussions of some really rough periods that these people are going through because, I mean, it mentions in the very next chapter a severe disagreement between certain women in that community that was really causing, you know, a shakeup and threatening to tear it apart. These people were undergoing some difficult times, and they would continue to do so. I mean, their past, if you remember the story of the church in Philippi, was kind of a checkered one. They started outside of town when Paul couldn't get a foothold within town, and there was some problems with officials in town. There was problems with the Jewish synagogue in town. There were just it started amid some problems, but this church, if you will, is known today for its joy, and this letter is filled with joy. In fact, it's got one of those verses that we have memorized. You know that verse, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." You know that song, that verse, that's in here. And it talks about how, you know, we need to focus upon what's right, what's good, what's honorable, what's true. That's the power of the risen Christ in our lives. To see these things, to see the present, not the past, see the present reality, and to yearn to edge towards the future. And that's what the Apostle Paul, you know, is talking about. He talks about the power of Christ's resurrection, but in the very same sentence he mentions the sharing in the sufferings of Christ, becoming like Christ in his death. You know, it's not forgetting the negative side of life, but having our lives being pulled. He talks about pressing on to make it my own, this life in Christ, because Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. We are all anointed ones, right? We talked about that with the children this morning. That is our heavenly call. That is our heavenly call. And God is continuing to pull us in that direction. And we walk with him along the way. And that is our goal. That is where we're headed.